with you this morning. If you didn't, there's one on the back of that pew, and I want you to get it. Amen? Amen? Let's stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. I want you to turn to Romans, the book of Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read the first two verses. And for you that are familiar with the book of Romans, you pretty much know these first two verses, and you probably already know what this message is going to be about. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read the first two verses here this morning. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brother Russell, would you pray for the message this morning?
Dear Lord Jesus Christ, I just want to thank you again, dear Lord, for the day you've given us, for the opportunity and privilege it is, dear Lord, to come to your house.
Yes.
And just lift you up in songs and praises, dear
Amen.
Lord. You're just so good to us, and we don't even deserve it, Lord.
Amen.
I want to thank you for just shedding your precious blood on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
For a sinner like me, dear
yes.
Lord. And I just pray right now, though, Heavenly Father, you be with Brother Dennis. I pray that you give him the
Please.
Word to preach, dear Lord. I pray that you give him the power and the liberty to preach, dear Lord.
Yes.
And I pray that when the word comes to that pulpit, dear Lord, that prick our hearts as Christ in us, dear Lord.
Yeah.
I pray that you just be with this message. I pray that you just give him perfect will, perfect liberty to preach.
Yes,
Heavenly Father. And I pray, Heavenly Father, you bless him.
Please.
Pray. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I plan to take the next several Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and preach a series of messages out of the book of Romans. And I'll tell you about the book of Romans this morning, folks. If I could have access to only one book in the Bible, it would be the book of Romans. I hope that you read your whole Bible. But if you say, Brother Dennis, I'm not. Shame on you for saying that, but if you were to say, I'm not, you said, but I will read one book. What book do you want me to read? I'd say the book of Romans. If somebody was going to be stranded on a deserted island and they could only get one chapter of anything in the world to them, I'd say, one book of anything, I'd say, give them the book of Romans. That book is very important and has the most, in a condensed book, what you need as a Christian and what a lost person needs to be saved. Now, when you look at the book of Romans, it's usually divided by most teachers into three main sections. Chapters 1 through 8 is doctrinal in nature. Then when you get chapters 9, 10, and 11, that's what some people refer to as dispensational, or it deals with the nation of Israel. But then when you get to chapter 12, on to the last chapter in the book, the 16, that is very practical stuff. And that is, in my opinion, some of the greatest material in the Bible on Christian conduct and duty of a Christian. And so what I want to ask you to do for the next, like I said, several Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, to be in prayer as we go through these chapters, that God will deal with you as an individual, and that he'll deal with this church concerning living like a Christian should. Everybody in here ought to want to live like this Bible tells you to live. And these chapters we're fixing to go through is going to give us some real good practical information on our duty as a Christian, our conduct as a Christian, how we're to live as a Christian. Now, the title of my first message in this morning is Our Living Sacrifice to God. And as you've already read, our living sacrifice to God is us, our bodies. The Bible said there, we read there, that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look and see what that means and what that entails this morning. We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. I think this is appropriate Sunday to start this out. This is Memorial Day Sunday. And what we usually do is we take time to think about all those people that gave up their lives and died so that we would have freedom. And the greatest sacrifice that was given of all was the Lord Jesus Christ. He died that we might go to heaven and live forever. But what I'm asking you to do, what Paul the Apostle is asking you to do, and more than that, what God's asking you to do today, is not to die for them, but to live for them. Now, in living for them, there needs to be some dying going on. Dying to ourselves. And letting the Spirit of God live through us. But our bodies, listen, our bodies, my mind, my body, as feeble as it may be, as pitiful as it may be, we ought to present it every day, every second, every moment. We ought to lay our bodies on the altar and say, I am a living sacrifice to you, Lord God. That is the first thing we want to deal with in these messages this morning, is that God gave us everything, you know, what intellect you have. Some of us have a little bit less than others. But what He gave, that's God's. What physical abilities you've got, what you can do or you can't do in your mind and in your body, God gave that to you to give to Him, to present to Him being a living sacrifice. Now, first of all, let's look at this request, the request of this. And notice what He says there. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, the first thing I want you to understand is Paul is talking to saved folks. He calls them brethren. If you're sitting here in this church this morning, you're lost. This message is not for you. You don't even need to worry about giving your body as a living sacrifice to God. He won't accept it anyway. The first thing you've got to do is to be born again. The first thing you've got to do is to be saved. The first thing you've got to do is be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You need your sins forgiven. You need to be put into the family of God. You don't have anything to offer to God as a sacrifice. You need to be saved. This message this morning is for Christians. It's for saved people. Now, if you're here and you're lost and you're not saved, I invite you to receive Christ this morning, be put into the family of God, and then present your body to God as a living sacrifice. But I'm preaching to saved folks this morning. And I want you to notice what Paul's doing there. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Do you know what it means to beseech somebody? He's pleading. He's pleading and he's begging them to present their body a living sacrifice to God. Listen, if I plead and beg you to do something, you think it might be pretty important? Paul knew how important it was. And he's trying to get these Romans to understand, these Roman Christians, to how important it is. Now notice what he says there. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He says a living sacrifice. And that's a contrast to the Old Testament sacrifice. Do you know what all the sacrifices in the Old Testament happened to them? They cut their throat. They killed them. They burned them up on the altar. He's saying, no, it ain't that. We want you to be a sacrifice unto God, but a living one. Not a dead one like in the Old Testament, but a living one. And that you're to present your bodies. And by the way, when they did those sacrifices in the Old Testament, they got the best they had. They got lambs and bullocks and stuff without spot, without blemish. And they were to bring of the best that they had to give to God and offer to Him for a sacrifice. And you may say, well, I don't have much. Yeah, but you ought to present your body and give God all that you have and the best that you have. That's the sacrifice. And in that living sacrifice, there is some death involved. Like I said, it's dying to yourself. It's dying daily. It's saying, Lord, I don't want my emotions and my ambitions and my wants and my desires and my lust of the flesh to control me. Lord God, I want to present my body. I want the Holy Ghost of God that lives within me to live through me. And I want to die to myself that my body and my mind can be used by the Lord Jesus Christ. you present your bodies unto God, it says. It says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now, notice what he says there, how you present your bodies. He says you present them holy and acceptable. You know, God just won't accept just anything. Like I was talking about that Old Testament sacrifice, you couldn't just bring the worst of your flock and give it to God and Him accept it. He won't just accept anything. And you ain't just going to live any old way you want to and give your body in any way that you want to in the way you choose and withhold it the way you choose. There's an acceptable way to God. And there's a holy way to God. You know what it means to be holy? It means to be set apart. We're to be set apart. We're to be different. Our bodies and our mind, listen, our bodies and our mind as a Christian ought not to be used and influenced and consumed up in the same way that the world uses their body and mind. We're to be set apart. We're to be a holy people. We're to be different than them. I tell you, in this day and time, there's so much world in the church and church in the world, you can't even tell the difference between the two. And that ought not to be. I tell you, a born-again Christian ought to look like it and act like it and speak like it and talk like it. And we are to present our bodies to God a holy, holy sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice unto God. Now listen, this is a tough message for me. This is a tough point for me, and I'm going to get a little practical here in the next few minutes, and some of you, I'm going to lose you, I know. But I want you to understand something. Before I come up here this morning to preach to you, I've already preached this to Dennis Knowles. I've already prayed to God about it. I've already asked God for help. Because we are to take care of our bodies. We are to do right with our bodies. And I'm going to tell you why in a moment. But we are to not just treat our bodies any old way. Now, I've tried to make some changes. I don't eat as much as I used to. I don't eat as bad as I used to. I'm several pounds lighter than I used to be. You say, man, you must have been a big old fat boy. I said, yeah, I was, still am. And was fatter than that. I've tried to do better. I've tried to do different. But I am by no means, listen, by no means where I need to be. But the truth is, this body is not my own. The Holy Spirit possesses me now. If you've been saved, you're not your own. And we don't have a right to mistreat our body and just to stuff it full of any old thing we want to. I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe it's a good testimony for us Christians to get so big we got to wobble in the church. I tell you what, you'll amen to brother when he loads you up about smoking cigarettes and drinking beer and doing drugs and all that. But boy, you know what? Then you'll come over here and eat like hogs in the fellowship hall. Amen, brother. I'm going to tell you, that body God gave us is not to be used and abused by food. Amen. And I tell you, most of the health problems that I have right now is because I did not eat the right food for several years as a Christian. Listen, your body's yours to exercise properly. I ain't just popping down in front of the TV and watching Days of Our Useless Lives and not doing anything. And the young and the hopeless. And as the world churns and all that kind of stuff. You ought to get some exercise. You ought to get out and walk a little bit. Open up the blinds. Let the sunlight come in. As we talked about in Sunday school. Turn that stupid TV off. Get out in the yard and do something. That's not your body to be laid up there and just have nothing going on. That's not your body. And just let it get big and fat and wasted. And no use. And then get on up to your 70 and 80 years old. And then you don't have any physical things left. Or maybe you get to 80 and 90. And you look back and you never use your body for God. You ought to sleep right. Hey, I believe God wants us to sleep like we ought to. They say, I don't get much sleep. Well, you need to, you know what? Why is it that back in the 40s and 50s and on back, people worked a lot harder than us, but they got more sleep than we did. That's because when the sun went down, the lights went out, and people went to bed. You're staying up late at night on that stupid computer and on that TV, and God knows what else you're doing. And you need to learn to shut things off and go to bed and get some rest. You say, I never heard of such. That sounds like preaching from 75 years ago. Yeah, they were a lot better than us 75 years ago. This generation now is pitiful. I tell you, some of you would feel a lot better and look a lot better and function a lot better if you get into bed and go to sleep. And you're ruining your body. You're using your body up. Can't do nothing for God because you don't even get enough sleep. Listen. I don't think it's right for us as Christians to smoke until we just ruin our lungs. People get in a coughing fit. Everybody I know of, when they wake up for the first 30 minutes, you can't pray. You can't read the Bible. All you do is about making everybody else want to vomit. Listen to you gag and choke and puke. I know some of you don't like it. Deal with it. Hey, I don't believe it's right for you to drink till you ain't got a liver no more. That body is not yours, it's God's. I don't think it's right to do drugs till your mind's so scrambled. You can't even add 2 + 2. You're supposed to use your body up for the Lord. I don't think it's right for you to fornicate until you get every venereal of disease under the sun and ain't good to nobody or nothing. That is not your body. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He owns you and He owns me. And we ought to present it a living sacrifice to God. Do you know what 1 Corinthians... Listen to me now. I'm going to read the Bible to you. Listen. 1 Corinthians 3 verses 16 and 17. Listen. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You know what that's saying? Back over there when Moses pitched that tabernacle in the wilderness, that was the covering. Then when you went into the Holy of Holies, that's where God resided on the mercy seat. Then they built the temple. You go through the holy place, you go out there to the holiest, the Holy of Holies, and there's a mercy seat. And that's where the presence of God was. And nobody could go in there, only the high priest once a year. And he had to have everything right or God kill him. I mean, that was the presence of God. What that's saying now is that all changed from the Old Testament. That the temple, listen, back then the temple held the presence of God, which of course a little temple could not contain all the glory of God, but that's where He was, that's where He chose to be. But what He's saying now is the temple for the Christian is your body, because when you get saved, the Bible says that Jesus Christ comes and lives within you. The Holy Spirit of God comes inside of your body. And your body is the temple or the house of God. And you ought not to defile that house. We ought not to abuse that house. We ought not take the Holy Spirit places He don't want to go. We ought not do things the Holy Spirit don't want to do. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. You ever thought about that? We believe you're sealed until the day of redemption. You're saved eternally. You ever thought about that? That's a horrible thing. Let me tell you something else about this request. It's giving to God the godly things. Doing for God what He's asked you to do with your body, not what you want to do. Now, look at this next part here. I'm talking about renewing your mind. And I believe this is part of this. Giving your body to be a sacrifice, a living sacrifice for God. And He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many of you want to be transformed? I'm not talking about liposuction and all that. I'm talking about being spiritually transformed. Well, you do that by the renewing of your mind. You know what it means to renew something? It means to make new. I like this Webster's dictionary definition. Bring back into good condition. Sometimes our mind gets a little messed up, don't it? But we can be transformed by renewing our mind. How do you renew your mind? I'm glad you asked that. Plenty of Bible, not Reader's Digest. Plenty of prayer, not gossip. Plenty of church attendance. Thinking on spiritual things. filling your mind full of spiritual things instead of carnal, worldly things. And when you renew your mind, it will transform you. And when your mind gets right, then your heart can get right. And when your heart gets right, it's not a burden you present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. It's an honor and a pleasure. And notice what it says there, in order to do that, that you're not to be conformed to this world. Now listen, in the Bible, when you see the word world shows up, it has three different meanings. Sometimes the word world is talking about the people. And the people of the world, we're to love them, for God so loved the world. And we're to love one another. Sometimes when it has the word world in the Bible, it's talking about the planet. And we're to be sort of neutral with that. We're not supposed to abuse the planet. We're not supposed to, mistreat what God's given us. But we're not supposed to be a bunch of stupid tree huggers either. That Bible says those trees are for good for toilet paper, good for pencils, good for housing. I mean, I think you ought to plant some back, but cut them all down, man. Listen, God said he's going to burn this whole world up one day anyway. So you might as well get what you can out of it. But so you got one time the world shows up, just sort of neutral. One time the world shows up, you love them. But there's another way the word world shows up in the Bible. And it's talking about the worldly system. It's talking about the worldly influence that is totally contrary and against God. And that is the world that we're not to be a part of. Let me tell you what the Bible says about that world. You want me to tell you? 1 John 2:15 through 17, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You cannot be in love with this worldly, wicked, worldly system and world of ungodliness and present your body a living sacrifice and have your mind renewed. You can't do it. James 4:4, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. If you're a friend with this world and hobnob with this world and this wickedness, you're not God's friend. You cannot be a friend with the world and a friend with God. Don't work that way. You give your body and your mind to God for Him. Amen. Him to control. Now I want to look at the reasonableness of this request. We looked at the request. It's a reasonable request. Notice what he says. He said, verse number 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Notice what he says, which is your reasonable service. And there's probably several reasons why this is a reasonable thing for God to ask you to do. But I can think of two things right off the bat. Number one, because of God's mercy towards you. That's what he said. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. I think it's very reasonable. Listen, I think it's very reasonable that God ask us to take our bodies and be a living sacrifice for him because of the mercy and the love he had toward us. God gave the ultimate sacrifice for us so that I don't have to burn in hell one day. And that sacrifice was his only son that died for my sins and died for your sins. I think it's a very reasonable request that if he would do that for us so we could go to heaven when we die, we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice to him in gratitude for what he's done for us. It's a no-brainer to me, man. He gave everything. He died so I could live. Let me live for him. That'll be how you look at it. I think it's also reasonable because of the fact that God owns you. I want you to understand something here today. When you got saved, you became God's. He owns you. Listen, and if he owns you, and he does, he can command you and tell you to do and do with you whatever he desires to do. You don't tell God what you do. God tells you what to do. Hold your place here. I just want to look at one scripture this morning. We'll come back Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to begin reading at verse number 15 to the verse number 20, the end of the chapter. And I want you to understand some things here. God owns you. He bought you with a price through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says you're not your own anymore. Look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 15. Notice what it says. It says, "Know you not, don't you know, that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Now here we go. Verse number 19. What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God?" Here it goes, church. "And ye are not your own." You don't own yourself. God owns you. Verse 20. "Why? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, because you're bought with a price, therefore, because you're not your own, God owns you. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are" whose?
God's.
We are God's. He has a right to demand us to live for him. He has a right to. You cannot say, "It's my body." You cannot say, "It's my life." You cannot say, "I'm not hurting no one." You can't say that. One of the arguments for, and I don't know, I'm just running a little rabbit trail right here, and I'm going to get back and finish this thing up, but one of the arguments in this abortion debate I've heard these women say is, "It's my body. It's my body, and ain't no man going to tell me what to do with my body. Ain't nobody else going to tell me what to do." Pardon me? God tell you what to do with your body. And you don't have a right to kill your baby just because you think it came from your body. God gave that baby to you. And it's not your body. And it's not your right. And you and I don't have a right to do what we want to. We don't have a right to live any way we want to. We don't have a right to just do the things that we think are right. We are to do what God tells us to do. And if you're saved, he bought you with a price. He owns you. He can do whatever he wants to. Now I want to look at the reward of this request. Now I believe there's a lot of rewards to it. I believe if you present your body as a living sacrifice to God, God will be pleased with you. Don't you want God to be pleased with you? I want God to be pleased with me. I believe you'll have, in the long run, you'll have a happier, more fulfilled life. Your life will have purpose. Your life will have meaning. I believe that when you die one day, you'll have more heavenly rewards. You'll do a lot better at the judgment seat of Christ. I believe there's a lot of great things about it. But one thing that is obvious in this passage that will really help you if you get a hold to it, why one thing that ought to urge you to want to present your body a living sacrifice to God and to have your mind renewed. Back over there in Romans 12. Romans 12. Look there in verse number 2 again. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." How many of you from time to time have things come up and you say, "Man, I really want to know the will of God about this"? Now there's some general important, and I think most of the important things, you can know the will of God in your life simply by reading the Bible. Simply by knowing what God says about things, you'll eliminate a lot of things. But I know there's little specific things that we want to know. Is this God's will? Should I do this? Should I not do that? What should I do? And I've had some people say, you know, man, I prayed about it. I asked God. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. I've done that. I've done that. I still have no direction. I don't know what to do. Maybe, listen, maybe it just might be the reason you can't find the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God is you have not been transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have not given your body a living sacrifice to God. Did you read the thing? Did you read the context of it? It says, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That thing's connected there to you having your mind transformed and being renewed and you giving your body as a living sacrifice to God. That thing is connected to you knowing what God wants you to do in a situation and what you're not to do. And one of the first things I say to somebody sometimes when they come to me with a problem like that, I say, well, is your body sacrificed to God? Is your mind being renewed? Are you thinking on heavenly things? Because I'm going to tell you, even if you pray to God and God gave you the right answer, your mind would be so scrambled and your heart would be so messed up, you wouldn't be able to receive it. And I think it's a reward there. In conclusion, I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe how long we get to live on this earth, I believe how much we actually get done for the kingdom of God. I believe how much we honor and please God. I believe what we do at the judgment seat of Christ will depend heavily on what you do with these two verses today. I'd hate to know that I used my body up for the world. I just let my body rot and waste for the world. And never presented a living sacrifice for God. You and I owe that to God. That's the very least we can do. And it's a pleasure to do it. And if you don't do it, you're disobeying God. I'm disobeying God. And I'm telling you, you just keep on treating your body like you want to treat it. Or rather, mistreating your body. You're going to have more health problems, more mental problems. You're going to narrow down where you're going to have no body left and probably no mind left to get anything done for God. You know what's one of the most pitiful things I ever see? I mean, I see a lot of pitiful things in ministry, but I'm going to tell you one of the most pitiful things I see is from time to time to go in a nursing home and make a nursing home visit, and have some old saint laying there on the bed. And maybe they're in their 80s, maybe they're in their 90s, maybe they're close to 100. And this scene has unfolded in front of my eyes many a times. That old saint cry and say, I wish I could go to church. I wish I could get up out of this bed. I miss church so much. I wish I could read my Bible like I used to could. I can't see no more. I wish I could hear the preaching. I miss church so bad. I wish I could come there. And I pat him on the hand and pray for him and say, I wish you could too. And some of you've got health and ability. And the only thing that's keeping you out of church is sorriness. You're going to use your body up. You're going to use your mind up. And you're going to be up there in that nursing home one day. Bankrupt before God. And then your mind ain't there to be renewed. And your body ain't there to present as a sacrifice. You've wasted your life laid up in a nursing home, on a hospice bed, or in your house, having done nothing for God. And I tell you, that's the most pitiful thing I can think of. The most pitiful thing I can think of. So why don't you, as a sacrifice, on the altar, put your body on it today. Give your mind to God and say, God, I want to be a living sacrifice for you until the day you come back or the day you call me home. Every head bowed, eye closed. Even now, God.